that song, listening to them sing. Just placing ourselves in the Father's hands. We place our life into His hands. And I was thinking, what do I need to place into His hand? We all deal with life. We all are dealing with different things in our lives. And so often, if you're like me, you know, most of you probably aren't. You probably don't have this problem. But I try to do things on my own. And I try to take care of them on my own. And then when I can't do it, that's when I say, okay, Lord, here it is. It's so much easier when I go, Lord, here it is, before I keep trying to do it myself and just follow what He has. So I thought, you know what? If I'm thinking that and I'm wondering what I need to give over to the Lord, you may be thinking the same thing. So what we're going to do, just take a few moments and say, Lord, here I am. What do I need to turn over to You? And just say, Lord, here it is. Guide me through this. So let's just take a moment and do that. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads for just a moment, and I'll close us out. Father, it is not easy for us to admit that we need help and we can't do it on our own. But Lord, we can't. Forgive us when we try. Lord, take what we have given You. And Lord, I would pray that we would leave it in Your hands and follow Your leading. Lord, that You would just guide us step by step. And reassure us that You've got it taken care of and we can trust You. Thank You, Lord, for working in our lives. Thank You for being involved in this situation. And Lord, we look forward to seeing what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Forrest, is that me that's popping or is that the me? Yes? Okay. Then if I start popping again, and I'll move over to the other mic then. So it may not be the microphone that we were using that was popping. If this is popping. There we go. Let me just turn it off. And I'm going to use the yellow mic over here. Okay? This is going to be day for technology. Yeah. Static never hurt anybody, right? How many of you remember AM radio? How many of you remember AM radio? I just remember people talking about it. I don't know. But yeah, that you always got some static with AM radio, didn't you? Let me see if I want to just see if I can plug it and send it over here. And then maybe that will. Okay, I'm going to use the cell phone, and then we're going to go on. All right.
Okay, but there we go. I'll use that. There we go. Well, we've been in our series, Mud and the Masterpiece, and today we're bringing it to a close. Throughout the series, we've seen how Jesus feels about and treats other people, His followers as well as those who are not His followers. And we've been challenged to look at our own life and say, okay, do we see and treat others the way Jesus does? Do we show them the same grace, truth, and share the love of Jesus with them that Jesus shares with us? And the answer to that question, of course, is yes and no. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. So that's the reason we have to ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to do these things and to lead us to do these things, because He's the only one that can cause us to be Jesus to those around us and to see them restored. See, Jesus wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of grace, and He wants them to experience saving grace and be restored. And Jesus wants to use you and me to make that happen. He wants us to be used to bring in the harvest. And that's the title of our message today, The Harvest. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Now, I suspect that each of us have people that we know that we would like to see come to the knowledge of Jesus, that would come and be restored and experience new life. And as we spend time with those that we know, whether it be family or friends or neighbors or coworkers, often we wonder, are they really interested in the gospel? As we walk along, we go through our day, we look in the eyes of those that we pass and or the people that we're talking to in the checkout line, we wonder, are they really interested in being restored? Would our efforts of sharing the gospel and sharing God's love make any difference, or would it be just a waste of time? These are the questions that run through our minds as we think about sharing Christ with others. Are people ready to hear? Not just listen politely, because there are those that will do that, but are they willing to truly consider becoming a believer and a follower of Jesus? Well, to answer that question, we have to look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. So let's read those, and you follow along as I read. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Well, in verses 35 through 37, Jesus discusses the harvest. He's looking at the harvest. And what is he doing as he's surveying the field? He is walking, he is traveling around, he is sharing the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And as Jesus is teaching and as he's preaching, as he's seeing those around him, as he's listening to their stories and listening to their troubles, he sees their longing. A longing to be free from the burdens that they're carrying, to be free from sin, lives wanting something new, something different. They were longing for new life, an abundant life. And his heart goes out to them. It says he had compassion on them. And as he's looking at them, he is not just seeing this longing. He's also seeing that they are not just simply wishing that things were different. But he's seeing that they're not just longing for something different, hoping that they get relief, but they were open to receiving the relief that he had to offer. That he was open to see receiving his grace. So he turns to his disciples, and he says what there in verse 37? He says, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. So not only does Jesus see that the harvest is out there, but he sees there are many, many who are ready to come to Christ and to follow. The number of those who were to be restored was great. It says plentiful. Another word for that is great or large or huge or enormous. Any word that you could get that's really, really big. But these are the folks that were ready to come and follow Christ. There are a lot of folks out there that were ready to be saved. Now, with that information, then the answer to our question that we ask, are there those who are ready to start following Jesus? The answer for that is yes. There are people out there who are ready for that. Every day, as we go and we walk around and we pass people on the street, those faces that are looking back at us, there's no doubt that many would follow Jesus if given the opportunity. And we are the ones who are to give them that opportunity. Unfortunately, how many of you can look at somebody and go, oh, there's a believer, there's a follower, there's somebody who's ready to listen, there's somebody who's not. How many of you can do that? I can't do that. Jesus could. Jesus could look at somebody and say, oh, here are the followers. That's the reason he was able to look at the harvest field and say, oh, there are a lot of these folks out here who are ready to embrace Christ, embrace me and embrace the Father and come into a relationship with me. He could tell that, but we can't do that. So, if we can't do that, if we can't determine who's open to the Savior and who's not, what do we have to do? We have to share with everyone. We have to share God's heart with everyone. Because we don't know, we got to share it with everyone. Now, even though there are a great number of people who are ready to come and we need to share everybody we know, does that mean when we come up to somebody who's ready to follow Christ, we're going to mention Jesus, they're going to fall at our feet and say, oh, tell me, please, please, how do I be saved? No, I've never experienced that. I do know people that have had people come to and say, can you tell me how to know Christ? I've had friends that have experienced that, but it's a little different. They weren't quite begging. But does it mean that every person that we share God's heart with is going to want to follow Jesus? No, it doesn't mean that either. But it does mean that there are people out there, there are people that you and I know who are waiting. They're waiting for someone to come along to care for them, to love them, to encourage them, to befriend them, even though they may be covered with the mud of sin. They're waiting for someone to show them God's heart of compassion and speak grace and truth into their lives. They're waiting for you and me because we are that someone for many of the people that we know. And we never know who will and who won't respond to the grace of God. And we may never know, and we never know when somebody may respond. As I said last week, coming to Christ is usually a process. You know, it's a process. It takes people time to decide whether they want to follow Christ or not once they hear the good news. It's just like, it takes time to plant and grow a garden. It takes time for faith to grow as well. See, the seed must be planted, and it's got to be watered, and it's got to be nurtured. And then as the grace of God and the truth and the love of God take root in people's lives, then they make the decision to follow Jesus. And he restores them. And then the harvest is reaped at that point. As we interact with others, we don't know what stage of that journey they're going to be on. We may have the privilege of planting. We may be able to share Christ with somebody that has never heard about the grace of God at all. We may have that privilege to plant that seed. We may be ones that comes along to water. And we water the seed. We encourage them and we help them understand more about what God is offering to them. We may be there when someone is born into the kingdom, when someone comes to Christ and they come into the kingdom and we welcome a new brother or sister in Christ into the family. But see, any of those parts, whether it be planting, whether it be watering, or whether it actually being there when somebody comes to Christ and then we have that harvest, every single thing is important. Every one of them is important. How many of you know what 1 + 1 is? How many of you know what the Pythagorean theorem is? I've heard the name, but I could tell you what it is. Now, to learn the Pythagorean theorem, see, I can't even say it. You have to know what 1 + 1 is before you know what the Pythagorean theorem is. It's a process. Same thing with coming to Christ. People have to have the seed planted, then they have to have it watered, and then the harvest comes. And each one of those, you can't leave out any of those if you're going to get to the harvest and someone is going to come to know Christ. So every one of them is important in the process. And so whether we plant or whether we water or whether we get to reap, we're thankful because God is the one that caused the growth, but he's allowed us to be part of the process. And we can celebrate that because we're part of that joyous work. Now let me ask you, when a farmer plants and irrigates his field, does he know what kind of harvest he's going to get? No, not really. When a farmer plants, he plants in the hopes that he'll get a harvest, but he doesn't know what kind of harvest. It may be a small one. It may be no harvest at all. You know, he may not get anything. But unlike the farmer, when we sow the truth and we water it with love and grace, we do so knowing there will be a harvest. See, here Jesus makes this emphatic statement. The harvest is plentiful. It's not that it's not there. It's ready. It's ready to come in. And if we as a church and individual believers reach out to those who need restoring, we will reap a harvest. It's not that we might reap a harvest, but we will reap a harvest. Even if people don't respond right away, we continue to water. We continue to encourage. We plant the seeds and we water those seeds and we pray that they would take root and grow. And we never know when curiosity is going to turn into a passionate faith. or when someone else will come along and they will reap what we have planted and what we have watered. Hopefully we'll get to see the joy of seeing people come to Christ, and we'll get to see that big harvest here in this lifetime. But you know what? Even if we don't see it here, guess where we'll get to see it? We'll get to see it when we reach heaven. And we will be able to rejoice around the throne of God to see all those people standing there because we were faithful, not just to harvest, but to plant and to water as well. So we will rejoice there. How many of you ever had a garden? Anybody here ever have a garden? Any of you grow patio tomatoes? Have an herb garden? How many of you ever had a fruit tree? Or been around a fruit tree? Seen a fruit tree? Anything? I don't know. Yeah, when I was a kid, we always had a garden, but we also, there's one place that we had that had a plum tree and it had a green apple tree in it. So I've been around all of that, and then herb gardens as well. Now, let me ask you. When it came time for the fruit to come off the vine or come off the plant, did you just stand in your kitchen and you watched them, you watched them jump down and just kind of march into the kitchen, jump up on the counter and into the sink? Did they come in all by themselves? No, they did not. They didn't make their way in the kitchen on their own. What did you have to do for them to come in? You had to go to the garden. You had to go to the vine. You had to pick that which was ripe. In other words, you had to go where the fruit was and pick it for there to be a harvest. That's what we've got to do if we're going to see the great harvest come in. We must go into the field where people are, and we must plant, we must water, and harvest. Now, I want you to look at what Jesus says after he said the harvest is plentiful. That's the first thing he says. And then he says this, but the workers are few. Now, when he says the harvest is plentiful, that gets us excited. We're excited about that. The fact that, oh, good, there's going to be more people step into the kingdom. There's going to be more brothers and sisters to share life with and to celebrate with and to encourage one another and to walk with, spend eternity with. However, when he says the workers are few, that lets a little air out of our tire, doesn't it? And we're left to wonder, well, exactly what does that mean? And is there a solution to that? And we tend to look at that part of the verse, that the workers are few, as bad news. That's not good. But this statement was not meant to be bad news. It was just news. That's all it was. It was just a statement. He was stating a fact. Compared to those who were ready to receive the gospel, there weren't many who were ready to share the gospel. And why was that? Well, because at this particular time, there were relatively few followers of Jesus. There wasn't all that many. And so, there weren't that many to show God's heart, to show his love to those who needed it. There was a bunch of people who needed to hear, but the disciples, he had disciples, but there weren't very many of them. There was a lot of work to do, and I say still is, but some more workers were needed. So what was Jesus' solution for increasing the number of workers? He says this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Another way to say that is pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now notice here, Jesus didn't tell his disciples to pray and say, Lord, should I go to the harvest field? He didn't tell them to pray that. Should I go out and befriend sinners? He didn't ask them to pray that. He doesn't tell them to ask the Lord if they should be gracious, if they should show God's heart, if they should be available to those around them that are covered in the mud of sin and need salvation. He didn't say, you disciples, pray and see if the Lord, the Father, would want you to do that. Why didn't he tell them to do that? Because they were already involved in that. They were already working the field. They were already following Christ. And they were sharing the good news as they went about with the Lord. So they were already in the field, so their involvement in the harvest was a foregone conclusion. Now, does Jesus ask some people and call some people who know him to share the gospel and others he doesn't? Does he look at some people and say, okay, this half of the congregation, y'all have to go out and share the gospel, but y'all folks, y'all don't have to do that. Y'all don't have to share God's love at all. Y'all are okay, but it's all on y'all's shoulders. Y'all just relax. Does he do that? No. How many of you have ever heard of the Great Commission? You've heard of the Great Commission? Over in Matthew chapter, I got chapter 28. This is what it says in verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you even into the end of the age. Jesus was talking to his disciples at that point, and we are his disciples, so he's also talking to us. So every believer, every follower has already been sent into the field. You follow me there? He's already sent every believer into the field. We are believers. We're his followers. And so we are to be working our field. We're to be planting, watering, reaping. But where is our field? That's a good question. What is that? It's where we live. It includes everywhere we close our home, our families, our church, our work, our neighborhood. The list goes on and on and on. It is where we live our life. That is our field, wherever we happen to be. We all have a field. We've all been sent into that field. A field that is large and has a large harvest. One harvest that's ready to be brought in. A field where people who need Christ are ready to receive him. The question is, are we working our field? That's the question. See, all believers are sent, but not everyone goes, and that's one of the reasons why workers are few. But that wasn't Jesus' point here. If Jesus has already sent out all the believers and said, every believer, every one of my followers should be sharing my love with those around them. That's part of the calling of a disciple of Christ. If he's already done that, what's he asking them to pray for here? What's he asking them to ask for? Well, let's do this. If all of us are in here, we're all here, right? Who's not here? Anybody not here? If you're not here, put up your hand. Not if you're sleeping. Not if you're, you know. Okay, we're all in here. How do we add people to our group? The harvest becomes the harvest. We have to go out there. Somebody from the outside would have to come in here to add to our number, right? So if every believer's already been sent into the field, and Jesus is saying, ask the Father to send more workers into the field. What do they have to be praying for? They have to be praying for the harvest to come in, for new people to come to Christ and join them in sharing God's love and bringing in the rest of the harvest. So that he's not asking them to say, do I need to go? That's a foregone conclusion. He's saying, ask the Father for the harvest to come in. Ask the Father to use you to reach others so others can join us in sharing me with those around them. So Jesus is saying, pray that people come to know me. That's the bottom line. Pray that people come to know me. Pray the number of believers, the number of those who receive my grace increases. Pray your activity and your efforts will bear fruit. See, it's Jesus' desire, do you think, for everybody to come to knowledge of him? Do you think he wants everybody to be saved? Absolutely, he does. And he wants people to be saved, right and left. Then let me ask you this. Do you suppose if we pray that people will be saved, we pray for our friends and our neighbors, pray for those we interact with, that they come to Christ and we are working our field, do you think we will see people come to Christ? Yeah, because that's the Father's will. Listen to John 1:5-14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when it says he hears us, it means we have it. So if we pray that God brings in the harvest, and he uses us to bring in the harvest, what is he going to do? He's going to use us to bring in the harvest, and the harvest will come in. Now, whether we see that, whether we get to be the reapers, or whether we just the planters and waterers, it doesn't change the fact that the harvest still comes in. So what I'm saying is even if we're praying and we're doing what we're supposed to do, that doesn't mean we will necessarily see people bow to come to Christ. But they will, maybe with somebody else, as opposed to us. So I don't want you to think that just because you're working your field that you're going to see all these people praying and accepting Christ. Hopefully, yes, we'll get to experience that. I think we will, but it's all of that. So don't give up just because you don't see someone come to Christ. And that is something that else that we talked about last week as well. Even though we plant and we water and we not necessarily see them come to Christ immediately, we got to continue to water. We don't just say, well, if you're not interested right now, I'm going to go on to somebody else. We talked about that last week. We continue to water because you never know when they're going to decide to come to the Lord. I'm convinced that prayer drives the harvest. I am just convinced of that. We can work hard, we can do all the things right, but unless we tap into the power of Jesus Christ, unless the Spirit is empowering us and working in our hearts and working in the hearts of the lost, the harvest is not going to be what it should be. Jesus must be doing the work. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much, not little, but much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That includes leading people into a right relationship with Jesus. So we pray and we ask him to use us to touch the lives of those around us, touch the souls that are longing for a new life, and to see that desire to know God to come into a passionate faith and one that would follow him. We need to pray that we will be faithful workers. That we pray that other believers will be faithful to work their fields as well, to water, to reap, as they walk through their field. And we need to pray for our field. We need to pray for those who do not know Christ, that they would respond to his love and to his grace. And that's what we're going to do right here in just a few moments. We're going to pray. We've talked about it. Now we're going to do it. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. First, we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray that we would be faithful to share Christ with those around us. Okay? So that's the first thing we want to do. We want us just to pray that God would use us and keep us faithful. So we're just going to do that. I'm going to let Pat play a little bit here and just to have it because we're going to be silent for most of this time. And so that's the first thing I want us to do. So let's just bow our heads. Let's ask God to keep us faithful, to share with those around us, to plant, to water, and to reap when we have the opportunity. So let's ask the Lord to do that in us. Now I want you to pray for other believers, not just here, but around this city, around the state, the nation, and the world, that they would also be faithful to work in their field. Father, we know that this starts with us. We know that we have to make ourselves available to you before we can ever begin to pray that others will make them available to you, to use to share your love and your grace, to be the person that you had called us to be, and to be a friend to sinners, to be people of grace, to be patient and loving and kind, and Father, to walk with those who are seeking and curious about you. So Father, we give you ourselves to you just as we sang. We place our lives in your hands to use us however you see fit. Father, sometimes it can be quite frustrating because we walk into our field and we see all these people, we don't know where to start. Sometimes we share and it doesn't seem like anything comes of it. We love and we encourage and it seems like people are stuck. But Lord, they're not. They're looking, they're listening, they're learning. And Father, they're learning a lot from us about who you are. So Father, keep us faithful to walk with you and to keep your heart foremost and up front in everything that we do. So Father, thank you for using us. Give us the eyes to see those opportunities that you put in front of us. The opportunity to plant. Maybe the opportunity to water and encourage. And also those opportunities to reap and see people come into your kingdom. We thank you for every place where your gospel is being proclaimed today, where it's being shared. Father, we pray for a harvest today in every place where your name is mentioned. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we